Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Journey with Judy. Honest, open, transparent. It's hot.
There's no such thing as perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect life. So come as you are, broken and scarred. Lift up your heart and be amazed and be changed.
All right, so good morning. Thank you for choosing to journey with Judy. And this show today is hot. It is the hottest it's ever been. It's not only honest, open, and transparent, but it is 97 flipping degrees right here in WLKG studio in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, because the air conditioning went out. And here's the deal. We like experiences and opportunities to be grateful for what we have. And oftentimes when we no longer have it is when we realize the most how much we appreciate it. So when my friend Kurt texted me and said, hey, listen, it's a little hot in here, I had no idea how hot he meant when he said hot. So in the spirit of the show, we're going to keep it honest, open, and transparent. And between that and menopause and this beautiful summer hot day in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, we are super, super hot. So here's the deal. Our scripture for today is most appropriate, as always, is the Word of God, because it says something about how, in all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of His will, that is this plan that is always for our highest and best good. And of course, that is, as usual, Judy here paraphrasing the Word of God. So by the end of this show, I'm going to tell you how you can know that you know that you know what the perfect and pleasing will of God is, which is always for our highest and best good. But for some reason, we like to not only do it over, but we choose not to necessarily do things right the first time. I mean, it just seems that we always have time to do it over, but it just seems to make a lot more sense that we did it right. So, I don't know. We're on this four-part series that has something to do with ensuring that next time will be better than last time. And what does that even look like? What does it mean? How can we be sure that we're going to step into the future and it is absolutely going to be better than the past? And here's the thing. I got a good friend who always said, if you want to have a good indicator of the future, you look at the past. And so I guess we can say that with a degree of confidence as we look at not only repeat offenders that we know and love, but if we're turning the lens inward, we recognize that we too are repeat offenders. We do the same thing. We expect different results. I think by definition in a 12-step program, they call that insanity. And oftentimes we say, like, what was I thinking? So what was I thinking When I left the doctor's office without trying on my contacts and realized they were the wrong prescription. What was I thinking when I left the windows open and it rained and it didn't only rain, of course, it poured. What was I thinking when I went to the damn grocery store without the list? How about just today when I pulled into the station and realized that my car has been on empty for a really, really long time and I just never looked at the gas gauge, because I typically look at the gas gauge and decide it's fine. And then on the highway, it says the next gas station is 72 miles away and I have 10 miles to empty. So what was I thinking when I grabbed a pair of shoes because they said a size 9 and realized that they were a size 8, or even worse, when my daughter, who was going out of town, said, grab my white Birkenstocks, and I didn't only grab one of her white ones, but one of her sister's white ones, and sent her to South Carolina with one size 7 and one size 9. What was I even thinking when I bought the pair of pants without trying them on? What else is on my list? What was I thinking when I woke up my daughter in the middle of the night to give her a prescription, but I didn't look at the bottle and, of course, gave her the wrong prescription. So, my friends, what was I thinking when I pulled up to the bank? And yes, I did pull up to the town bank on my bike. Apparently, no one has ever pulled up to the drive-thru on their bicycle. I like to be the first one who sets a precedent. And I typically show up at the bank without not only a deposit slip, but not remembering my account number, because my girl in the bank, she knows me and she knows my account number, but apparently it was a new guy and he didn't know who I was nor my account number. So what are we thinking? What are we thinking when we show up doing more of the same thing but expecting a different thing to happen? Because my friends, nothing changes when nothing changes. So let's talk about some real, sustainable, lasting change in the midst of this honest, open, and transparent, super hot show. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. All right, so Mandisa reminds us that although we might be feeling something new inside of us and it is a new day and our highest desire is to do things different and not be repeat offenders, the reality is wanting to, desiring to, committing to is oftentimes just not enough. It's just falling short. And because here's why. We all know those people, and this show is about really turning the lens inward and putting the I in the statement of them, right? Like trying to recognize that we are the common denominator, and it is just so easy to see the plank in somebody else's eye when we just can't even, or the speck, I should say, in somebody else's eye, when we just can't even see the plank in our own eye. Because here's what we think. We think that experience is going to make us wiser. We think because we know better that we are going to do better. And we want to draw from the past and believe that next time is going to be better than last time. And you know what? It's great in theory. But oftentimes what happens is we believe the lies that we tell ourselves and we find ourselves stepping into a future that really oftentimes mirrors our past. And so, you know, we know those people, we chalk them up to being a tool. Like, why are they such a tool? When are they ever going to learn? And quite frankly, they're probably looking at us in other areas of our life thinking the same thing. And what is the common denominator is we're playing the blame game. You know, we are blaming everybody else for our, you know, past mistakes or past experiences, whether they're financial, relational, you know, academic, moral. Oftentimes, it's never our fault. I mean, it's always the fault of someone else. And truth be told, it makes for a great story when it's somebody else's problem that we are finding ourselves in the same situation. And so we talked about last week how our best bet for a successful future is to own our share of the past, which means we draw this big circle and we recognize that there is a piece of our past and we have to make peace with the past, right? Because the past always creeps into the future. The biggest quote in my house, my kids know it. You could just say one word and they'd finish the sentence. Your present will someday be in your past, and your past will always be present in the future. And so here's the deal. We have been trying for the last couple weeks, and I think we have one more week after this, to ensure that next time can be better than last time. And it doesn't matter which category. It could be in our professional, academic, athletic, moral, financial, relational, sexual, whatever category. We want to ensure that the future will not only be better, but bigger than the past. And so if we're not playing the blame game and if we're accepting responsibility, we are recognizing that a common denominator and a common theme is always asking ourselves or other people, it's like, what were you thinking? Or maybe more importantly, always more importantly, is what was I thinking? Okay, so we're going to go to break right now. On the other side of the break, thanks to Greg Kunis for sponsoring the show, we are going to wrap up what it means if we turn the lens inward and say, what was I thinking? I mean, maybe you were drinking. I don't know. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.
All right, so welcome back. I don't know how every single time I sit in this chair, Kurt just seems to pick, I don't know, randomly, I'm just saying it's the Holy Spirit, just the most appropriate song for what it is we're talking about. And that song that just said, you know, if you're going to cry, be sure to dry your eyes, because better days are going to come, right? And we believe that. We want to walk with pride. We want the pain to be recognized, but we want to learn from it. So how is it? You know, that we can ensure that next time is going to be better than last time. And, you know, the host of this show has just a history of doing things wrong and needing a fresh start and knowing that without changing some thinking, then it's most likely I'm going to be repeating history. I'm going to be a repeat offender. I'm going to be that person that people look at and say, like, what are you thinking? Like, when is she ever going to learn? And this happens. I mean, it happens today on a much different scale than it used to. I mean, I used to say that my life would be filled with destruction. And I would let the enemy wreak havoc in just so many areas. And I would just be wishing and wanting and desiring for things to be different, but just literally did not know how life could change. And although that's not typically the way life unfolds for Judy Hare today, it definitely can be with distraction, with distractions, being distracted in my thinking, because that's what this restart, starting over, pushing the button and hoping things will be different. The theme of this four-part series is all about that. You know, last week we talked about owning it. You just got to own your stuff. And if you don't own a piece of the past, you will bring that forward into your future. which is almost never to the benefit of the people who love you and have to wake up with you and work with you and be in relationship with you. And so this week we're talking about rethinking it, right? So rethinking it, starting over when we're coming out of something, right, which we determined has been bad or not to our highest and best good, financially, relationally, academically, morally. How can we know that next time is going to be better than last time, right? We say, okay, well, it's not your fault, and I'm sure it's not your fault, but let's assume for just 1 second and for the next 10 minutes of this show that you had a part in the restart, that you had a part in the past turning out as it did. So there's just three things you got to do. You got to own it. You got to rethink it. And you ultimately have to release it. And so as we're rethinking it, as we're thinking back on this restart, we often will say to ourselves, like, what was I thinking? Now, we might not say that publicly, but in the quiet recesses of our soul, we are saying, like, what was I thinking? You know, what was I thinking? You know, my dad saw it coming. My mom knew it wasn't the right person. My friend said it's not a good crew. But who knew? Like, you knew. The fact is that you knew. I knew. Everybody knew. But we did not want to really look at it through the lens of truth with a capital T, right? Our decisions looking back oftentimes don't even make sense to us. And it takes a godly, grace-filled person to step into that space that says, yeah, you know what? I really wasn't thinking about what I was thinking about, right? The issue is you, and the issue is we don't camp typically in the place to answer that question. We flippantly say, what was I thinking? But camping there and recognizing just for a long enough period of time, the desire to not only ask the question, but to answer it, to stop to answer what it means. Because if we do that, my friends, we have a way better, higher percentage, higher chance of allowing next time to be better than last time. Because if we don't stop to answer that question, it's very likely, it's almost a 99% chance that next time will be not only like last time, but oftentimes worse than last time, because now we're wishing and wanting and desiring something that we knew we could have navigated differently. So, of course, what's so beautiful about Scripture is it always speaks to our circumstances, our experiences, and the Bible just has the solution to every problem and the answer to every single question, right? When we view it in terms of what God's perfect and pleasing will is. And Paul, one of our famous guys in Scripture, wrote specifically about this topic. And here's what he said. Do not. It was like an order, a command, not a suggestion, but a do not, emphatically do not conform to the pattern of the world. Okay? Do not conform to the pattern of the world. The pattern of the world, my friends, is that cookie cutter, everybody, this is what people do. It's a culture that baits us to the end of disaster and then judges us when we're not there. Conforming to the pattern of the world makes us look like everyone else. Okay? As people of faith, we are not like everyone else. We are to be set apart. We are to be living lives that are holy and worthy of the call that we've received. And here's what that scripture goes on to say. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but instead be transformed. And the way that we are transformed is by the renewing of our mind. This is when we absolutely got to pay attention and be thinking about what we're thinking about, because nothing changes when nothing changes. And when we do not change enough to be transformed, we will oftentimes repeat the past. And so what's so cool about that word renew means to restore. Okay. I'm not really handy around the house or anywhere for that matter. And I have never restored anything other than allowed God to restore my own mind. But when you restore something, you got to bring it down to its original state. You got to peel off layers and layers, like for example, of furniture. And you know, when you peel it down to nothing, it's looking pretty ugly. It actually looks worse than it did initially, but that is what restoring requires. It requires something to be brought down to its original state so it can come back looking and being better than it ever was. And so when we go to restore something, a lot of times someone would step in and say, like, why are you wasting? Like, why would you invest that much time and that much energy to take off something? Well, because it's what we got to do. It's what we got to do to ensure that next time will be better than last time. Because if we just paint over it, which I did with this teak bench, and I got to tell you, it was ugly. It was ugly. It was uglier once it peeled off than if I would have just stripped it down to its original state, which was highly recommended, by the way. But of course, I was not listening. Because here's the thing. Renewal takes time. And we said this in the last week's segment, is that we feel like time is against us, but really time is very much our friend and very much on our side. You know, if I could, I've been thinking, I have four children and three of them are navigating some uncharted territory. And I lay awake at night wondering what bribe, what offering I could make that would get them to stop doing something for 1 year. The thing that I know would be the life changer for them, right? Like, if I could suggest to you, my listeners, to take a year off, like, don't date it, don't buy it, don't try it. Because if we are coming out of something that didn't end well, we need some time for healing. We need some time to restore and renew. It's just what we've got to do. Because if we do that, we will finally once and for all answer that question that we've asked 4 million times. What was I thinking? Okay. Because if scripture says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, we will be able to discern the perfect will of God. Because here's what we think. I'm going to whip through these couple things because Kurt gave me the peace sign, which means I have less than 2 minutes. Number one, if I find the right person, everything will be all right. My friends, if you find the right person right now, before you become the right person will not want you, truth be told. Number two, my situation is unique. No, it's not. That's why they have doctors that can prescribe things, because there's symptoms of situations that are really not unique. What's unique is not your situation, but you. Okay, if only I had blank, I would be satisfied. One of the quotes that hangs in my house and has since my boys were teenagers, it says, no desire is ever finally fully satisfied apart from God. So if only you had blank, you would be satisfied. That is one of the lethal assumptions. How about this one? To owe is better than to want. My friends, I just was in a position to buy a new car, and I was so proud of myself because I bought the one I could actually afford and not the one I wanted. There will always be tension in what we want versus what we owe. I promise you, if I could give you just a little bit of advice, stay in the tension of wanting over owing. And finally, my secret is safe with me. Bob often says the quote that he kept his secrets and then his secrets kept him. When we are renewing our mind and hoping for a transformation of what we're thinking, we have to believe that our secrets are never safe with us. They seep into other relationships. They seep into our lives. And most oftentimes, they hurt the people we love the most. So, my friends, you don't only have to own it. You gotta rethink it. And next week, we're gonna talk about the final stage of starting over, which is once and for all, releasing it. You've journeyed with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. If you're not gonna own it and you're not gonna rethink it, then at least keep it hot. Honest, open, and transparent. Peace out.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.